BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Are you ready for the Adam and Joe podcast? Made with little nuggets from their radio show. Mildly amusing mini moments from the past. Beautifully preserving super stereo. Stereo.
Hi, this is Adam.
Hey, this is Joe. Welcome to this week's edited highlights of the Adam and Joe show on BBC Six Music Radio.
It's great to be back with you after a couple of weeks of hanging out with Tom Cruise, which I got very bored of after
really?
A while. He's a crashing bore. I don't know if you realised that when you were hanging out with him, Joe, but my goodness, he certainly knows how to bore the pants off you about... He loves to cook bacon, and he's always going on about the best way to cook bacon. And
he's obsessed with bacon. I did hear that.
Oh, it's so tedious. And he loves to dress in skirts and look at my new skirt. What do you think? How does my bum look big in it? That kind of thing. And it's like
you know,
constantly
that's very similar to Nick Nolte.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a thing about meringues. He's obsessed with meringues and the perfect consistency and what's best to put between them. He's constantly got flakes of meringue in his beard.
If they're not fluffy enough, he's absolutely furious. He spends the whole day if maybe they're a little chewy in the centre, he gets apoplectic.
Does he doesn't like it when they're dry all the way through.
Tom doesn't like it when they're chewy in the centre. That's the thing about him.
Right.
Anyway, so I'm glad we're back. And although I have to admit to you, listeners, that I was feeling a little ropey throughout the show today. You know, a little bit sort of fluttery because I didn't sleep very well last night. And I've got a kind of jet-laggy feeling.
Excuses.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I was amazing.
Were you really?
At my best. Like a kind of samurai of Saturday morning radio. Amazing pinpoint accuracy, yeah. Like brain surgery.
In a way, this is the best of Joe Cornish, this podcast, isn't it?
Yeah. None of this is true, listeners. We're just filling space. But we hope you enjoy it, and we'll be back to say goodbye after the following highlights.
Hello and welcome to the big British castle. We hope you're having lots of jolly fun. Please obey the rules when you're inside the castle, or we'll jolly have to throw you jolly out upon your arse.
Hello, listeners. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Happy Saturday morning. We're back from our holiday. Adam's back from his holiday. I'm back from being chained to the grindstone.
Oh, how
was
that?
An expression? It was brilliant.
I love the grind. I love
Me
being
too.
Chained to the grindstone.
Have you seen Conan the Barbarian?
Yeah.
Do you remember the bit when he's chained to the grindstone?
Oh, it's sexiest part.
It's the passage from boy to man. He's chained on as a boy and then it dissolves to his massive calves.
Wait a second, I don't think I do remember that bit. In what way is he chained to it? Are they sort of grinding?
Yeah.
Oh,
they're grinding whatever they grinded back in Conan days.
Is that the way they did it in Conan days?
Yeah.
To make the transition?
Hovis. He was working for Hovis.
Right.
Other breads are available.
There you go. Well, it's a beautiful day this morning, listeners, here in London town. And I think we missed a trick, in fact, by not playing Beautiful Day by U2 to kick off the show.
How stupid of us.
It would have been good, don't you reckon? Because that's a great song and it's apposite because it's a beautiful day. Do you see?
And we could have put camera crews in listeners' houses and filmed them as they punched the air and smiled and then cut it together for a trailer.
That would have been perfect.
It's a beautiful day. Da-da-da-da. Yes.
And they could have had shots of us laughing.
Yeah.
And stuff
like
that.
By an estate.
What?
By a council estate.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, all trailers have to be done in council estates these days.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Whereabouts would you have been on the estate?
In the sink.
I would have been leaning out of
a
window. Right, right. Mm. And I would have been leaning out of a window and shouting abuse.
That sounds good.
Yeah, don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah. It's Adam and Joe. We were born on the street. That's what this podcast is basically about. Various different kinds of streets. Streets where you do your shopping. The streets inside your mind. Streets where you're looking for a penny. But in the end, it's a turd that you find.
That's Doves with There Goes the Fear. There goes the fear!
The fear seems to
Hello.
Be playing cowbells and having a sort of a Caribbean party.
a wicked kind of salsa party the Fear's having.
It's nice, isn't it, that the Fear's generally cheered up lately?
Well, the Fear, you know, wakes up like everyone else, sees that it's a lovely day and thinks...
what is that sound? You know that sound?
It's... I don't know what they look like.
How do they make it?
What does it look like, Jude?
It looks like almost like a tin can.
Put your sweater back on.
With a membrane on it and a piece of string, and when you pull it through, it goes... Like that.
That's the sound of fun.
A tin can with a diaphragm stuck on the end.
Frankly.
Is what it is. That's a fun thing for mums to make.
It's Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's Saturday morning. Happy Saturday morning, listeners. Now it's time for a visit to the movies.
Mm.
We are big fans, Adam and I, of bad British accents in films.
Yeah, absolutely.
We kind of vaguely collect them. There's nothing better than an American actor attempting to do a British accent. And the more wrong they get it, the better it is. It's mostly the men, weirdly. Women seem to do it quite well.
Well, the king is Don Cheadle, of course, in the Ocean's 11.
Absolutely. Films. But there's a new contender to the crown because during our holiday I saw a film called National Treasure 2.
Oh, it's one of the worst films ever made, apparently.
Have you seen it?
No, I've heard about
it. It's worth watching. It's very odd. But it's about a treasure hunter. I forget what his name is, played by Nicolas Cage. Mm. Who's got sort of... He's sort of stolen Tom Hanks's hair from The Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
He's got weird sideburnless hairpiece hair.
Yeah.
I think it's a hairpiece anyway, isn't it, with Cage?
He's got sort of a frizzy mullet going on there.
Anyway, during this story of this stupid film, it's a treasure hunting film. Mm-hmm. They've got to find some stupid relic I can't quite remember.
Is it a golden skull?
No.
Oh.
The thing they've got to find, it's something to do with the Declaration of Independence or something like that. But one of the stages of the adventure they go on involves breaking into... Buckingham Palace.
Yes.
Where the Queen's desk, you know, that's a very famous thing, the Queen's desk, isn't it?
That's
everyone chats about the Queen's desk.
It's legendary. Have you seen the Queen? We went to London last year and we saw the Queen's desk.
The Queen's desk, if you open the drawers a particular distance, like a kind of combination lock, a mysterious panel pops open.
And Prince Philip pops out.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's a whole sequence where Nicolas Cage and his team of adventurers go to Buckingham Palace and attempt to break into the palace. So it's all Mission Impossible style, and they're getting ready to get in there. They've gone on one of those tours, and they're going to slip in where they're not allowed into the Queen's office.
Like Michael Fagan. Do you remember him?
Yes.
Yes.
The man who turned up in the Queen's bedroom.
With no clothes on.
So at the beginning of this exciting raid... One of the characters says one of those gung-ho phrases to kick things off. You know, he's broken into a toilet, he's got his laptop out, all his technology out, and he's going to say a phrase to kick the whole operation off that's very British.
Yeah.
He's an American character. And so this is what he says.
Okay, it's tea time, chaps.
Okay.
I would have gone for... It's time to play some croquet on the lawn.
That's like if we made a film about a group of British people breaking into the White House or the Oval Office or something, if we started it off with a guy going, OK, it's time to have our cheeseburger. Have a nice day.
Why are they from the West Country?
Yes, they're trying to do American accents. That was the idea. Anyway, so the attack on the Queen's office continues, and at one stage, Nicolas Cage has to sort of cause a distraction. He's with his bickering girlfriend, and they've got to cause some kind of distraction for the security guards. So he decides to pretend to be a drunk Englishman.
Nice.
Having a fight with his girlfriend. And he gets in a sort of argument with the security guards, and this is when the English accent comes in.
Excellent.
Here's part one of how he defends himself from the security guards.
Jack, you and your missus, take it outside.
Oh, now look what you've done. You brought the little Barbies down on us.
Been drinking, have we?
Just a nip. Just pop down to the pub for a pint. Bit of all right. Going to arrest the man for that. Going to detain a blighter for enjoying his whiskey.
That's very British, isn't
he's it? He's going for laughs, though, isn't he?
I don't know. Well, Cage, he's a genius, really.
Yeah.
One can't tell what he's doing. I think you may be right, and there's further evidence in the next clip. That doesn't work. The security guards are still manhandling him.
Going to detain a blighter for drinking his whiskey.
So he decides to sing a classic British song, a song that every British man knows inside and out. It's called I've Got a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts. But he sings it in quite an eccentric way. Here it is.
It's all right, that's enough, sir.
Beggars and mash. Bottles and squeak. Smoke your pie, sir. Haggis! That's it. Dismount the banister. I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. Here they are, standing in a row. Small one, come big on. Stop as big as your head! Big as your head!
That sounds good, though. I think that sounds funny.
You've got to remember that this is sort of out of tone with anything else in the film.
Yeah.
Nothing else really has the same feel or style. It's pretty insane. And then one other little bit I wanted to play you was kind of on a different topic, but they get deep enough into Buckingham Palace and they pretend to be flower arrangers mm-hmm. in order to sneak in there.
Yeah.
So they walk through a sort of cordoned off official area carrying a big vase of flowers. And they have to make up some flower-related dialogue while a kind of security guard walks past to convince the security guard that they are flower experts. You have to listen quite carefully to this clip, but this is Cage's attempt at being knowledgeable about flowers. It's kind of mumbled, so listen carefully.
Oh, the flowers are stamens.
Good. He says, oh, flowers, petals, stamens, good.
Let's play that one more time.
Oh, they're flowers, petals, stamens. Good.
Oh, they're flowers, petals, stamen. Good.
He's playing it for laughs. That sounds good, man. You've sold the film to me. I'm going to see it now. That sounds
it's
like
weird. The tone's all over the place because yeah. that stuff's very broad. But later, when they get to doing actual kind of adventuring, it's sort of played more realistically than Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
Uh-huh.
It's very odd, very all over the place.
He is a genius, though, Cage.
Yeah, he's not picking his projects so well, but they're very profitable, aren't they, those National Treasure films?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. They're for little kiddies, little
are they?
Tiny kiddies who've had their brains removed.
Really?
Yeah.
There are a lot of them around these days.
There are a lot. It's a big burgeoning market.
Just to take the brain entirely out. Yeah, it just saves a lot
it's
of...
It's like an operation you can have. It's a bit like a circumcision,
right.
You know. If you want to avoid problems with a particular part of your body later in life,
yeah.
you just get rid of it. And same with the brain. You just pop,
really?
Pop it out. And there's all. And
they leave some bits in, though, don't they?
Little bits, yeah, just to cover motor functions, things like
right.
that. Everything else that might cause problems, just pop it out.
Mm.
And that's what the National Treasure films are.
They're aimed at.
Basically catering.
Well, I recommend that. And that goes into my top five bad British accents ever.
That's a peach.
It's time for Song Wars, the war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs, so check it out.
Yes, Song Wars 3 weeks ago was alternative birthday songs. We were trying to cash in on the lucrative Happy Birthday copyright market. And it is popularly regarded as the worst Song Wars ever, even though I take responsibility for that. My effort was shockingly awful.
Mm.
It makes me want to swear. On air, because
right.
I feel those are the only... I won't. Of course I won't. I'm just saying I've got the impulse, because that's how bad it was.
Yeah.
But, so I think it's pretty much got to be a shoo-in.
You reckon? Let's
have I'm expecting 0%.
No. That would be a first, if you got
zero. It
would
be a first. If it was 0%, if it wasn't 0%, I'm going to be worried about the person who's voted for it.
Yeah. Well, the person who would have voted for it, no disrespect, would be just someone who fancied you...
Do you think?
Like that. Yeah. Can we have the envelope?
You know, yes.
Joe Cornish is taking the envelope.
Envelope is sealed with sellotape. Crikey.
It's a bit
much, isn't it, Jude? Have other DJs been trying to steal the results? Here we go. So what was your song called, Adam?
It was called Happy Birthday Time.
And mine was called The Birthday Reply Song.
Yeah.
Yours was good. It was quite funny.
It was quite funny. It was a little annoying, grating.
Hey, look at that. Well, I've got 17%.
That's very respectable, isn't it?
And you've won with 83.
Well, that's...
I'm going to look through the emails and find out who voted. See if I can figure out what's going on in their heads. Congratulations.
Thanks, man. It means an awful lot to me.
Not much of a victory, really.
Shall we hear my winning song? Now, the question is, who shall I make this song to? Because there's a gap and I can sing Happy Birthday Day.
Is it not your birthday today?
It is my birthday
today. Yeah, it's your birthday
today. So I could sing my name in
Happy Birthday, Dr. Buckles.
Thank you very much.
It's my friend Alice's birthday.
Alice, I'll sing Alice.
Is Alice in the room?
She's listening at home.
Is she? Happy yes. birthday, Alice.
I'll do this for Alice, okay? It would be a little bit self-regarding, I think, to do it to myself. Here we go. This is Happy Birthday Time.
Birthday time. It's birthday time. It's time for your birthday today. Oh, yes. It's birthday time. Happy birthday time. To fail to celebrate would be a horrible crime. Your name is
Alice.
I brought you a gift to celebrate the fact you're still alive.
Hooray!
You
came out of a woman or possibly a tube. And ever since that day you have survived.
Well done.
And now it's birthday time. Happy present time. We got some cake and wine and cake and food. It's birthday day, that wonderful time. You should eat the cake, if not it's rude. Today's the day, you will be happy all day, because we come to celebrate the day with you. We're singing to you, and we're looking at you, and now you should be smiling, it's a happy day.
It's a birthday time, that joyful date, the same date that you busted out the womb. Many years have passed since that painful day. Who can tell how many more you'll make it through? Birthday time, birthday cards. I bought a card and wrote your name within. I gave you the card and now it's yours. And later you will put it in the bin. Birthday time, birthday time. Why can't we live forever?
That's a good question.
It would be, don't you think it'd be good
everyone,
you know,
live forever.
If people had birthdays they could tell us about, then we could play that every single time someone told us they had a birthday. I'm doing a gig tonight at the 100 Club, and I could sing that to myself if things go badly. Don't you reckon?
What, like, and that would make it better?
Well,
that's your, like, get-out strategy.
No, if I had nothing left to lose.
I can rescue any gig by singing this song.
I could just start singing that to myself. I'm emceeing, right? And I've never emceed as myself before.
Gig was awful. But then he sang this amazing song, and the whole thing turned around. People were punching the air.
I could do that. It's a really packed house. It's all sold out. Stuart Lee's on the bill.
Wow.
And David Cross and Rich Fulcher from The Boosh. It's
wow.
All like, I'm afraid you can't go, folks, because it is totally sold out. But it's a big gig. You know, I'm nervous about emceeing it. So I'm going to sing Happy Birthday Time to myself when I come out on stage.
Text the nation. Text, text, text. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Text the Nation this week is on the subject of shops that suddenly change their names for no apparent reason.
Groovy rebranding.
Yeah. We discovered during our holiday period that the record chain formerly known as Virgin, and we should stress there are many different outlets out there where you can purchase records, but the Virgin chain have recently turned into Zavvi.
Yeah.
Do you know how to spell Zavvi, Adam?
Z-A-V-V-I.
Z-A-V-V-I, correct.
With a little asterisk.
Now, this happened very suddenly. We've discussed it already, I think. It took everybody by surprise. And they haven't really explained the root of the name. Or at least I didn't think they had until someone last week told me that Zavvi isn't the name of the man who owns it. I thought it might be some mysterious foreign gentleman.
Or an acronym, maybe.
Yeah, but no. Zavvi is apparently, and forgive us if we've got this wrong, this is merely hearsay, is a contemporary way to say the word savvy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of groovy pronunciation and spelling of the word savvy. I'm really zavvy about music. I'll shop at Zavvi. So the logic is already insane.
Yeah.
But if you take that logic and extrapolate it to other shops, we were thinking about what other shops would become. We thought that PC World might suddenly overnight change into Fallain.
What's that?
I don't know.
Fallain?
Fallain. Or maybe the new word has to have something to do with the actual thing they're selling.
Surely, yeah.
Even though savviness could be applied to any merchandise, couldn't it?
Because I was thinking about, for boots, right?
Mm.
You could have Wellfit.
That's good. I had one for boots. Lurgis.
Lurgis?
Yeah.
That's no good.
As in got the lurgy.
Yeah, but you don't want the name. You don't want it to sound like a disease.
No, but it doesn't really. It's Lurgis.
Right.
So you don't make the connection. I've got to credit our friend Zach for thinking up most of these. We thought PC World, if Fallain's no good for you, it could be called Pewters.
Pewters is really good.
Pewters is good?
Yeah. Hey, how about, and you spell it Pooters.
Like Pooters?
Yeah.
I like that. Pooters.
Pooters would
Should
be
we go Pooters? Buy a Pooter.
How about this for a bank?
Yeah.
Dulix.
What's that got to do with money?
Like Spondulix.
Oh, nice. Dulix.
Dulix.
How about this for Pret-a-Manger?
Yeah.
The popular lunching chain.
Okay, Zach's first suggestion was Pure Venom. It changes its name to Pure Venom. I don't know where he got that from.
Spelt P-U-R.
But then we thought, well, if it has to do something to do with what they're selling, maybe it's called Samich. S-A-M-M-I-C-H. We also thought that Anne Summers might be renamed Flej.
How are you spelling that? F-L-E-J?
F-L-E-H-J. Or alternatively, if that doesn't float in the market, sluts with a Z. S-L-U-T-Z.
Hi, this is a sexy woman, and you're listening to the highlights of the Adam and Joe BBC Six Music show. Ooh, this podcast has got me so hot. I'm too hot. I'm going to have to sit down and take off my cardigan. Oof, I'm boiling.
Now we've got a very special announcement, listeners. Is that what we're doing now?
Mm-hmm.
We've got permission to do a competition. And it's a competition to make a video for some Song Wars songs.
Exactly right. And what we want you to do is to pick one of two songs that we are offering to you from the Song Wars canon. And these are early Song Wars efforts. One of which is Joe's Meatballs song, and my one is Jane's Brain, which I think was the first thing I ever did for Song Wars.
They're early offerings,
yeah,
because they're short and they're fairly simple.
Exactly, we went for the shortness, really, because we don't want to like ruin your lives by asking you to work all the rest of your time on 2.5 minute efforts. So these are short ones, 30 seconds, 50 seconds, and you can just make a quick video. What we really want you to do is just make something creative, imaginative. And I'm reading from the blurb here. It says, technical skills aren't an issue. You can use a computer, webcam, video camera, mobile phone, anything you want.
It doesn't have to be amazingly glossy. We're not looking for technical sophistication, even though that will impress us. But if you do something lo-fi but really inventive, that's just as likely to impress us, even if you've got a funny face.
And why would people be doing this, Joe? What do they stand to get?
Well, first of all, we should tell them that this competition is being judged by Adam Buxton and me, Joe Cornish, and our friend Garth Jennings, who made Son of Rambo and Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
More importantly, Garth made many of the world's greatest pop videos.
Absolutely. So he's a big pop video expert. What's the prize? I think they get to come into the show.
It says here.
And sit in on the show. Is that it?
It says that the winning creator will be given a special behind-the-scenes tour of the show.
No.
So what will they see behind?
Desks.
Some desks.
Yeah. And desks piled with CDs.
They will be allowed to use the toilet.
Very same toilet which I just used. Remember, they can touch us.
They would have an access all areas pass here at Six Music for one morning.
Yeah, and we'll give them permission to touch us in certain areas.
You can sit in the hub where all the live sessions are recorded and stuff. You can wander around there. You can touch the big wooden Six Music logo there. You can play with Jude's headphones. You can do anything you want, pretty much, if you are the winner of our video competition.
Is there's no money or anything material to give them? No, it's just the trip to the studio.
No,
you see. And we showcase their video.
And we showcase their video on the website.
On the website.
Do we pay for their travel to the studio? Yes. All expenses paid. Trip to London.
So the details of this competition are on the Six Music website, I would imagine. Is that right, Jude? Yeah, exactly. So find out more there. But we'd really like you to take part, obviously. Otherwise, we'll look like kind of losers who've launched a competition that no one wants to take part in. And that's one of the most humiliating things that can happen to someone in the modern world.
It's bound to happen. The closing date for the competition is noon on the 5th of July, 2008. And we hereby swear to watch every single video that comes in, because there'll probably only be four.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's true. We have to. Big British Castle rules.
Yeah, this is a proper competition.
If it turned out that someone had sent in a video that we hadn't watched, the whole castle would shut down.
Yeah.
And we'd be responsible. So it's a big responsibility we have, and we're going to take it very, very seriously.
So there we go. Visit the Adam and Joe website on the Six Music website. Check out the proper rules. You've got two songs to choose from, listeners, to make your video to. This is Adam's, one of Adam's early works. It's about what happens inside the brain of a lady, is that right?
Exactly, a lady's brain.
It's called Jane's Brain. Have a listen.
Oh yeah, her name was Jane. She had a brain and it lived in her head. She'd use her brain to think of things that she didn't have. She'd think of cars and she'd think of fancy dresses and she'd think of big houses and she'd think of cars. She liked cars very much indeed. If she had one, she would drive around and go shopping. She used
used the car to put her shopping inside, and then she'd drive back to her house and unpack her shopping, then she'd eat it.
That's crying out to have a video made for it.
Absolutely.
Imagine
that would be
the possibilities.
Easy, no problem, man. It's short and sweet. Let's have a quick listen to Joe's Meatballs song.
Place the meatballs. Place the meatballs. Place those meatballs.
I should remind you that this song is based on the instructions for cooking IKEA meatballs.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Place the meatballs in an oven-proof dish and heat at 225 degrees centigrade for about 15 minutes in a microwave at 700 watts. Place the meatballs in a bowl without a lid and heat at full power for 4 to 5 minutes. Stir after half the time. I said, stir the meatballs after half the time. Come on, place the meatballs, eat the meatballs.
So you can choose between the meatballs song and Jane's brain. Choose either one of those songs. You can do a whole ladies brain-based video or a cooking-based video. And upload them to the website, and you could win that extraordinary prize.
That is an extraordinary.
We might. Are we allowed to just bring some stuff in to give this person, sort of out of the castle when we're outside?
Yeah, if it's a personal exchange, one on one, we can do.
We could put together some kind of goodie bag.
Ooh,
it seems to me you need extra motivation.
Is there any kind of vetting procedure that we can do on these people so we can stop like random nutcases coming in? No.
It's purely on merit.
It's purely on merit.
The best video.
That can't be right, can it?
Oh, no.
Is this a good idea?
It's a very good idea. Visit the Adam and Joe website, BBC Six Music, online to see the full terms and conditions and all that sort of business. And please make a video. We can't wait to see what you come up with.
Yeah, what? Yeah, what? Now, I don't know about you listeners, but I was watching the MTV Film Awards in the week. Hard to miss. I think they showed them pretty much every single night, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they're always quite entertaining, aren't they, the Film Awards, don't you reckon?
Yes, absolutely. One of the most entertaining award ceremonies there is, which isn't difficult.
Did you catch Coldplay? They were playing on
there. I did, yes.
And it was wicked. They played Blind Up, but they're all wearing costumes.
Mm.
And is this something they always do, Coldplay? Do they always promote a new album by wearing a special look?
Well, specifically, they were wearing military uniforms. And the cover of Vida la Vida is some kind of French Revolution imagery. It's a very stirring bit of oil painting with a lady raising the tricolour flag and a man with a blunderbuss and a naked dead person on the bottom left. But it's all sort of glamorous and beautiful. And they were wearing similar uniforms. I was quite impressed. That was the thing I found the most impressive about the performance.
The uniforms.
I sat there thinking, oh, I'd like a jacket like that.
Right. Mm. Because they all had sort of bits of coloured material tied round the left arm or whatever.
Well, he's a big fan of that.
He loves tying things to
rags,
himself.
Tying rags and rubber bands and stuff.
But it was a strange look because it wasn't immediate. I mean, it wasn't entirely militaristic, like they weren't proper uniforms.
It was revolutionary, Adam.
Right, but it looked a bit like...
They're not in an army, they're in a people's army.
Yeah, but the look to me was sort of military business carnival wear.
What does that mean?
Well, exactly, but it looked as if they'd just got some suit jackets.
A military business, so someone who works in the arms trade,
yeah,
in a suit, going to some kind of carnival.
Exactly.
And tying like a party at the end of the arms trade, when they have the big party at the end of the fair.
Yeah.
Oh, we've sold a lot of weapons today. We're going to go to a carnival later on. We've tied some funny kind of coloured things to our arms to have some fun at the carnival.
I don't know where these people are from. I wonder if every member of Coldplay is behind that kind of costume look. Do you reckon?
Well, I don't know. I think the drummer looks a bit annoyed at the whole
surely
thing.
One of them has got to be groaning when Chris Martin comes in and goes, okay, guys, for the new album, we're all going to... This is what we're going to look like. Debbie, could you wheel in the suit, please?
Yeah. And, guys, very important. I want you to remember to keep the coloured bits tied to your arms at all time. Johnny, last time I noticed that one of your coloured bits slipped off and you didn't tie it back again. Can you make sure that doesn't happen for Viva La Vida? Thanks very much.
The all-new Adam and Joe podcast has an all-new name. Podmas. The name will never be used out loud or written down.
Podmax.
But from now on, whenever you think about the Adam and Joe podcast,
Podmax.
Think Podmax.
And Text the Nation this week is all about rebranding popular shopping chains. Tom in Stockport has a suggestion. Adam, will you be the brand manager?
Yes.
I'm going to pitch these name changes. As brand manager, you have to tell me whether you would apply
yep.
these changes.
Okay, my name's Dan Brand. My assistant is Katie Brand.
Russell Brand.
And Russell Brand. Yeah, far away. Let's see
okay,
what you got.
Greggs. You heard of Greggs?
Greggs, yeah. Sandwiches, that kind of thing. Pastries. Yep. Yeah.
Tom in Stockport says, I want to rebrand Greggs as Copastiz. Copastiz. All lowercase. Due to their tendency to sell savoury meat products at a temperature no higher than lukewarm. So it's a shortening of cold pasties.
Oh.
Copastiz.
Copastiz.
What do you reckon on that? Yes?
Quickly
now, lots to get through. Yes!
Yeah,
okay,
like
Greggs is now officially being called Copastiz.
Copastiz.
Well done, Tom. Here's one from Holly in Bradford. She wants Weight Watchers to be rebranded Chuboff.
Chuboff? Well, I don't know about that one.
It's a bit derogatory, isn't it?
Is that from Holly?
Holly, yeah. No, I don't think that should get... an anonymous one just says McDonald's to Matty.
Matty?
Matty.
Where, why?
Not even Mickey's,
wherefore?
It's Matty.
Matty.
It's good because it sounds a bit like Patty. Here's another idea for Greggs. Greggs could go upmarket and change their name to Pastiche.
Ooh.
You see? Pastiche. That's more sophisticated. And it works on several levels.
Yeah.
Perhaps slightly adjusting their colour scheme from the wee yellow they currently use. From Robert in Huddersfield.
Pastiche is nice as well because it's like they're sort of imitations of pasties.
Yes, exactly.
You know what I mean? We're not, of course, suggesting that that's
no.
what it's like at Greggs.
No.
But yeah, I like that one. That's good.
Yep, that's going through. Here's one from Sean Manningtree. Gap could become chasm.
And again, crazy spelling you need. K-A-Z-M.
Yeah, he spelt it correctly.
Chasm.
Chasm. I like that a lot. Police stations generally, says Justin in Walthamstow, should be rebranded Crimes. C-R-Y-M-Z.
That is a very good idea.
Having trouble with the law? Visit your local crime.
Get down to Crimes.
Call Crimes on 999. Discount on physical assault.
I had an idea for Burton's, the suit makers.
Yeah.
You could call them Freds.
Like threads.
Oh, but with an F.
Yes.
Freds. Oh, that's Freds. Good. Said by a modern contemporary person.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Well done.
Thank you.
I approve of that one. Pizza Hut renamed, says David in Manchester, Stodgentop.
Watch out, here's another little bit. It might be wicked. It might be one of the weaker bits. But that's cool. I like weaker bits. I can handle up to three.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. We were talking earlier about National Treasure 2.
Mm.
It's just a small point. It was written by The Wibblies.
The Wibblies?
The Wibblies. W-I-B-B-L-E-Y-S. The Wibblies. It sounds like a CBBC cartoon.
Yeah.
The Wibblies.
Are they related to The Wiggles, I wonder?
Possibly, but they've gone to Hollywood and write screenplays.
The Wiggles, I think, wrote Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
The Wibblies. The Wiggles.
The Wiggles.
I'd like to see the Wibblies in a high-powered script meeting in Hollywood.
Yeah.
One of them's bright blue. It's got tiny little arms and hair that's red springs. Doing, doing. So, Wibblies, we need a new National Treasure film. We need it in 2 minutes. Can you do it?
Yes, I can. Wibbly, wibbly, wobble, wobble, wibbly, wibbly, wobble. I like it. Green
yes.
light. We're green lighting the next Wibblies project.
Cage will only do it if it's written by the Wibblies.
They should work with Tom Cruise, the Wibblies.
They really should. The problem with the Wibblies is they have trouble with punctuality.
Yeah.
Because their car, the wheels keep falling off their car. It's open top and one of the wheels is a hexagon, the other one's a square, one of them's a triangle, and one of them's a curvy line. It's to teach kids shapes, but it's not very practical in terms of getting to meetings.
In the movie business.
Yeah.
Mind the gap.
Yes, yeah, mind the gap.
Andy in Oxford says Pizza Express could become Dough! Exclamation mark.
Like it. Very Simpsons.
Yeah, but that's good, though. I mean, you know, you can't hurt tapping into the Simpsons market.
Yeah. Two on the nose for me, though.
Dough? It's
yeah.
genius.
Two on the nose.
Andy, I like that one, man. Thomas Cook. Says Jack in Bristol could become
Vermooze. V-E-R-M-O-O-Z. Vermooze.
Vermooze. Like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Here's a couple of suggestions from Jesse in Shrewsbury. Hello, A and J. KFC could be just rebranded as YUK. Also,
that's good. That's going through.
And she goes a step further, saying that Xavi could now be rebranded.
I like this one.
As Vargon.
I like the idea of changing it to Vargon. How long has it been Xavi for? A couple of months? Too long. Quickly change it to Vargon.
Rebrand. Time for another rebrand.
Vargon.
But they only rebrand the outside of the shop. They keep Xavi on the price stickers. Vargon.
Welcome to Vargon. Did you find everything you're looking for?
Just talking.
Now, the last time we were on air, about 3 weeks ago, we had a really good time listening to some of your juvenilia that you sent us in. Juvenilia, of course, being works of art that you created as a youngster.
Yeah, childhood pop culture imitations, you know, when you try and write a book or make a film or put on a play as a child, and it gives you a weird kind of juvenile take on the pop culture of the time.
And in fact, we got a load more through in the intervening weeks, some of which we'd like to share with you. And we thought maybe this could even become a semi-regular feature.
A little corner.
To the extent that I made a jingle, Joe.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, how exciting.
I'd done a jingle. I'd done a couple of jingles.
No.
Because both of them, I think, may be unusual.
Let's hear them.
Well, the thing is that one of them features my young son, Natty, who
that
is
sounds good.
3 years old. So I thought, you know, perfect for juvenilia. But the problem is it's a little nauseating for some people to hear other people's children being used in kind of a cutesy way.
I'll be the judge of that.
Because I did a version of me singing so you could kind of hear the words of the jingle in a kind of strange voice. But then after I'd done it, I thought, it sounds like a kind of Dangerous Criminals Escaped.
Right.
Anyway, listen to the first one. This is my one.
Here's something that I found when I was extremely young. It isn't gonna kill ya, 'cause it is only juvenilia.
I like it.
Yeah.
Are we going to get the same song sung by Nat now?
Well, a similar version.
Okay, let's hear that.
Here's something that I done when I was very young. It isn't gonna kill you. It's time for some juvenilia.
That's good. We got to use the second one. He sounds like he might kill one day.
Yeah, well, he's in his video game phase at the moment.
Oh, that's lovely.
They've
I
been
think
jumping
we should
around.
Definitely go with the second one. You might remember if you were listening a few weeks ago, we had a homemade magazine that a gentleman called Leon Trigg made about Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was, I don't know how old, but if he was anything over 13, then he was in serious trouble. There's a letters page, and obviously Leon has written both the questions and the answers to the questions he's replying to. Does that make sense?
Yes.
We read some of them out a few weeks ago, but I didn't really communicate the full amazingness of them. So here is the Schwarzenegger magazine question page. Dear Leon, has Arnold ever had any problems because his muscles are too big? Yes. He once had to write with his arms straight because he couldn't bend his arms because his biceps were so big. Imagine.
Asked and answered by Leon.
By Leon. And the final question, which makes me laugh, is, dear Leon, I've heard many rumours that your parents have seen Arnold. Is this true? If so, how did they get to see him? Yes, it is true. They didn't only speak to Arnold, but they also spoke to everybody in Miss Olympia because they went to the Miss Olympia show in Madison Square Gardens in New York to see if Corey Everson would win for the fourth time, and she did. Oh, dear. And that magazine we've put up on our website. If you go to the Adam and Joe corner of the BBC Six Music website, you'll see a little juvenilia link, and you can have a look at Leon Schwarzenegger magazine. Here's a couple more. This is from Ryan O'Neill.
Right.
He says, I know you were talking about self-published books and magazines and poems and stuff, but I did something maybe even a bit weirder than that. I used to put on a TV show called The Good Guy Ryan Show. It was by no means actually televised or recorded in any way whatsoever, or watched or viewed by anyone. It was just in Ryan's head.
Hey, this is you did that as well, didn't you?
I had a whole channel, mate.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a show. So I feel particular affinity with this email. Ryan goes on to say, it was just me jumping around in my house, acting out this fairly detailed TV series. Anyway, the best bit about this is Ryan saying, I remember quite vividly I would act out these TV shows a series at a time, each one with a last episode and a cliffhanger. At the beginning of and end of every single episode, I would hum the theme tune, which was the theme tune from Minder. Only all electric guitar up.
Hey, incidentally, last time we were talking about Steven.
Yes.
And have you seen that thing on YouTube that someone's done?
Somebody's made a really quite cleverly made
little
trailer.
Steven trailer.
Yeah.
It's great. Check it
very
out.
Very good. What's that guy's name? We don't know.
Nigel.
Thank you, Nigel. We saw that and it was well wicked. Here's another slightly questionable one. This is from Dan Lett. He says, when I was a kid, I was a big fan of Judge Dredd, the futuristic policeman who starred in the popular science fiction comic 2000 AD. When I was 12, I decided to write and draw my own comic strip in a similar style. For reasons I still don't understand, I set it in Jamaica, and the lead character was a black policeman called Judge Fred. I rediscovered my comic several years ago and was horrified to find that it was riddled with racist stereotypes and slurs. Judge Fred was lazy, stupid, and shambolic. I'd written all the dialogue in a grotesque 12-year-old's interpretation of patois and having little idea of what Jamaicans actually looked like. I had literally filled the background of every frame with palm trees, coconuts, and cans of lilt. I'm just grateful no one outside my immediate family ever saw it. In a bizarre twist of fate, I'm currently editing an academic book on racism. I sent some stuff to Jude. I sent some stuff that I'd made that I think will go up on the website. I've sent a copy of my thriller I wrote as a very young kid called The Silicone Factor.
Ooh.
I meant to call it The Silicon Factor, but I spelt it with an E, silicone.
Yeah.
And it's a kind of Frederick Forsyth-style political thriller.
The Silicon Factor.
Written by an 11-year-old.
What's The Silicon Factor? It's just sand.
It's about something about oil, but it's amazing. It's the worst political thriller ever written.
How long is it?
It stops on page 36 due to author boredom.
All right, here's another podcasting. Breaking up the chat with some music. Yeah, we got this thing off GarageBand, but it's free, you know, anyone can use it.
That's Ghost Town by The Specials, of course, with all the long sort of horn bit in the middle there. Do you like things to be kept short and sweet, Joe, or do you like things to be grotesquely extended?
Grotesquely extended. It's just the way you said it. Oh.
Nice.
There we go. That was the highlights package for this week. Do you mind me saying package like that?
No, I like you saying package. Yeah, there's a lot of innuendo in the show this week.
There is.
But
it's what we fall back on in lean times.
It's Jude. I think it's our producer's fault, because as soon as Jo says anything vaguely suggestive, Jude gets a look on her face like, no, don't go there, which of course is like a red rag to a bull for Jo.
Off we go
and for
there.
Both of us, in fact. We would like
I'm
to go
going on holiday
can
there.
We go there for a long time?
I want to live there.
Yeah.
I'm buying property there. And it's a house in the shape of a huge pair of balls. Meatballs. A huge pair of meatballs.
Our
all covered in sauce. Tomato sauce.
From there.
Sauce. It's just Alan Carr. He's been filling in and he's left residue on the seats and it's got into our heads. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you very soon.
Love you, bye.
BBC Six Music Podcasts.
If you liked Adam and Joe, why not try Jarvis Cocker's Six Music Show, Sundays from 4.
Six Music.